After listing the many different types of trephos, which are animals which have an internal wound, which makes it forbidden to eat, the Mishnah listed many different types of trephos for a regular animal, for a bird, as well as many types of wounds which would not make an animal into a trepha. The final two Mishnahs of this perek talk about which features must be present in an animal for it to be considered kosher. Simone behemo v'chaya, the features and the signs which must exist in a domesticated animal or a more wild animal for it to be kosher, ne'emru min ha-Torah, are said from the Torah. The Torah explicitly says that in order for such an animal to be kosher, it must chew the cud and have split hooves. So any animal which we would come across, we can check if it has those two features, and it would be indeed kosher. On the other hand, v'simoni ha'oif, the signs and features which must exist in a bird for it to be kosher, lo ne'emru, are not stated in the Torah. Rather, the Torah gives a list of a number of birds which one may not eat. The Torah gives the names of those birds, and from there, avol omru chachomim, but the chachomim said, based on the list which the Torah gives of birds which may not be eaten, that we can learn from there what defines a kosher bird. Kol oif hadoreis tomei. Any bird which tramples, literally, is impure, meaning it cannot be eaten, it's not kosher. We're going to understand this to refer to a bird which is a predator and picks up the other bird or the other animal or meat which it eats and catches. It picks up with its claws that meat from the ground and lifts it up and flies away. That is a feature which exists in all of these non-kosher birds. And any bird which has this feature is certainly not kosher. Now, what are the signs which must be there for it to be kosher? So apart from the fact that it must not be an oif hadoreis, it cannot be a bird which catches its food with its claws and lifts it up from the ground. As well as that, it must have kol sheyesh lo etzba yaseira, any bird which has an additional toe, which is located behind the row of the rest of the animal's toes, the zefek, and the bird has a zefek, which is a particular area in the body before the food enters into the stomach to be digested. It goes from the food pipe of the animal into the zefek to be stored for a while and to allow the food to decay slightly before entering into the stomach and the digestive system working on breaking down that food. And the third thing which is necessary for it to be a kosher bird is that the kurkavon and niklof, it's kurkavon, the gizzard, which is situated below the stomach of the bird. This must be easily peeled. This means that a part of the inside of the gizzard, it needs to be easy to remove that from the flesh of the gizzard, the kurkavon. So if the bird has these three features and it is not a predator which catches the meat and flies away with it, then tohar, it would be pure and it would be kosher and permitted to eat. Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadik adds, kol oif hachilik raglov, any bird who splits its feet, literally. And that means that if you put the bird onto a string, you put a string underneath the legs, the bird will end up having two of its toes on one side of the string and the other two toes on the other side of the string. That is a sign that this bird is one which would catch the bird with its claws and fly away with it. And therefore, if we do check a bird and it does that, then tome it would be impure and not kosher and forbidden to eat. Mishnah Zayin, uvachagovim, and regarding grasshoppers, locusts, the Torah itself lists a number of different types of locusts which can or cannot be eaten. But once again, it doesn't describe what exactly the features are which are necessary for the sake of the locusts to be kosher. Well, the truth is, it mentions half of the features which are necessary. For regular animals, the Mishnah lists all of the Torah lists all of the conditions, that it splits, it has split hooves, and that it chews the cud. For birds, the Mishnah just gives a list of them, it doesn't give any features. And for locusts, the Torah describes half of the features which are necessary. Firstly, kol sheyesh lo arba raglayim, it's said in the Torah already that it must have four legs, and as well as that, v'arba kanofayim, it must have four wings. This part is not explicit in the Torah. The next one is, though, v'karsulayim. It must have karsulayim, which are two additional extra long legs, which would help the locusts jump. And the Mishnah now adds another condition which is not mentioned in the Torah, and that is the wings of the locusts must be able to cover the majority of their body. Rabbi Yossi says, Ushmoy Chogov, the name of this locust must also be called a Chogov. That is what it is known by. That is also a condition for it to be kosher. Alright, continues the Mishnah now about Dogim. And concerning fish, Kol Sheyesh Bo Snapper V'Kaskeses, any fish which has both fins and scales, or to be more precise, at least a fin or a scale, it would be a kosher bird. And those two features are mentioned in the Torah explicitly. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shnei Kaskesim Lo Snapper Echad, the fish must have at least two scales and one fin. Although the Torah uses Kaskeses, which can also refer to a singular scale, Rabbi Yehuda understands that it is also the general term when referring to many scales. Which means that the Torah is talking about scales in the plural, which means that there are at least two scales. And now the Mishnah just defines the terms kaskeses and snapir, which are Torah terms. V'elohim kaskasin, what exactly are the kaskasin which the Torah talks about? Hakavuin by, that refers to the ones which are fixed to the animal. This is referring to the scales, which is unlike snapirin, the snapirin which refers to hapariach bohen, that which the fish uses to literally fly with, to fly and swim through the water. Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph. This perek talks about the details of a particular law that states that there is a unique time where an animal will not require a slaughtering and it will be permitted to eat it even without slaughtering. And that is if somebody slaughters a mother animal, which is carrying a fetus inside of it, and once they slaughter the mother, they see that indeed there is another animal inside of her womb, it is permitted to eat that animal without slaughtering it. And that is true even if the animal is still alive, although it's generally forbidden to eat an alive animal, over here will be permitted, because the slaughtering of the mother permits the mother and anything which is inside of the mother. And in addition, if the animal which is inside of the mother is dead, instead of being considered an avelah, which is an animal which dies without regular slaughtering and is forbidden to eat in general, this animal will be permitted to eat since the slaughtering of the mother permits even the child. Begins the Mishnah, but Heman Kasha Leleid, if an animal is having difficulty giving birth, v'hoitzia ubaras yodoi, and the fetus puts out its hand out of the womb, the hechazira, and then put its hand back in. That's something which would make the birth very difficult. The Mishnah says, mutar ba'achila, it is permitted to eat that fetus. Now, the Gemara elaborates that regarding the part of the animal which came out of the womb already, the law is not so simple. If we are talking about a case where they slaughtered the mother animal, which they would be very likely to do since the mother's having a difficult time giving birth, there's a danger of the animal dying, and then they wouldn't be able to benefit from the meat of the animal, and therefore the owner would want to slaughter it in order to ensure that they'll be able to eat the meat of that animal, the mother and the child. So if they slaughter the mother animal before she gives birth, then the child animal would be permitted to eat and wouldn't even require a slaughtering, like we just explained. However, in that case, it is learnt from Pesukim that the part of the animal which came out would be forbidden to eat. That part, as soon as any part of the animal has come out of the womb, it can never again be permitted via the slaughtering of the mother animal. Only something which has never exited the mother can be permitted by slaughtering the mother. Now, this being the case, even if, let's imagine, the child animal is still alive, the slaughtering of the mother permitted this child, except that it didn't permit this part, the arm and the hand of the child animal. Now, what would happen if he now slaughters the baby animal? Would that permit the arm and even that part of the animal? The answer is no, because we don't even look at this as a slaughtering, because the animal doesn't require slaughtering. It's as if it's already been slaughtered. And because of that, even the arm would not be able to be permitted via slaughtering the baby animal. However, if the animal did give birth, and only then they slaughtered the mother animal, so then that slaughtering wouldn't help to permit any part of the fetus. In which case, if they do go ahead and slaughter the fetus, they slaughter the baby animal, then that would permit even the arm which had exited the mother's body. The only reason why that would be forbidden is because the slaughtering of the mother cannot permit that part of the animal. But if you slaughter the baby animal itself, in a case where that slaughtering is considered to be a real slaughtering, since the whole baby animal was not permitted via the slaughtering of the mother, so in that case, it would permit the entire baby animal. Continues the Mishnah, Hotzias Reishai, if the animal, if the fetus stuck out its head from the womb, Afal Pi Shehechazirai, even if the animal put it back in, its head popped out and then went back into the womb, Haizek Yalud, it is already considered to be as if it was born because such a significant part of the animal exited the womb, and in such a case, the slaughtering of the mother would not permit the child. It would require its own slaughtering, and then it would be permitted to eat the entire animal. What happens if somebody they cut a part of a fetus while the fetus is still inside the womb of the mother? It never left the body, and they might do this because the mother was having a very difficult time giving birth. So he cut off part of the fetus and left part of it inside the womb. Mutar ba'achila, it is permitted to eat it. Meaning when one slaughters the mother, it would permit the remaining part of the fetus which is inside. However, if somebody cuts min hatchol min hakloyos, part of the spleen or the kidneys, these are two examples of organs in the body where even if they are cut, it would not become a trefa. So the animal would still be permitted to eat. The Mishnah says, however, since these particular organs were cut, and now you're left with just a part of them inside the body, we no longer look at that as a part of the as part of the mother. It's not really functioning as something which is going to help the mother. It's not functioning for the mother's body. It's as if there is a kidney inside of the body which is not really part of the body anymore. And therefore, Osir Ba'achila would be forbidden to eat it because it would not become permitted via the slaughtering of the mother. Ze'akol, this is the rule, Dovar Shegufa, something which is part of the mother itself, meaning it's one of the organs, if it was cut and left in the body, also it is forbidden and does not become permitted via the slaughtering of the mother. She'eino gufa. However, if it was originally never part of the actual body of the mother, but it's something like a fetus, for example, then mutter, it would be permitted via the slaughtering of the mother. And the reason of it here is essentially because it doesn't require slaughtering. If it's one of the organs of the body, so it requires slaughtering, and the slaughtering doesn't help. However, if it's a piece of the fetus, which was never part of the body of the animal, then it does not require slaughtering, and it will be permitted to eat. Mishnah Beit, some of a keres, a mother animal who is about to give birth to her first child, and this particular baby animal is a male animal, and the law is that a firstborn male animal of at least kosher species has the status of a bechor, a firstborn animal, which needs to be brought as a korban. Needs to be given to a kohen at least, and if it has a wound, then it's given to the kohen. And he wouldn't bring it as a korban, but either way, it has a certain level of sanctity to it. But that sanctity, that holiness, is only given to the animal once it is born. So we have this mother animal who's about to give birth to a bechor, hamakasha leled, and she's having difficulty giving birth, so the birth is taking a while. And slowly but surely, the animal is exiting the womb. As long as only a minority of the animal has exited the womb, it is not considered to have been born yet, and therefore it is not considered holy yet. And because of that, mechatich ever ever, it is permitted to cut a limb off one at a time, umashlich laklovim, and to throw those to the dogs, meaning there is no holiness to the animal yet. However, yotzer ruboy, once the majority of the animal has exited the womb, there's a discussion whether this even includes a case where he cut off limb by limb. So right now, there is not a majority of the animal which is outside of the womb because it's already been cut off. However, the majority of what was once part of the animal has exited. There's a question of whether we're including that case, or perhaps we're only talking about a case where he didn't cut off the limbs. So a real majority of the animal has exited the womb, be it as it may. Once the majority of the animal has exited the womb, now it does become holy, Harizei Yikover, and therefore any part of this animal would need to be buried. If one now cuts off a part of the animal, or if we're including a case where he anyway cut off parts of the animal, now it would need to be buried, and he cannot just give it to the dogs, because it is forbidden to benefit from this firstborn animal, because of the holiness which it has. And the Mishnah adds that we still look at this animal which was born as being the firstborn child of the mother. It's true that the animal is dead, and it was cut up, But it's still considered that the mother gave birth, and therefore, the mother becomes exempt from the firstborn, meaning the next child which the mother will have will not be considered a firstborn animal, even if it might be the first child of the mother, which ends up being born alive. It's nevertheless not considered to be the firstborn, and therefore it also would not gain holiness.